Christmas time, Advent, as Teresa said, what a mix of emotions for us. Between the nativity scene and sweet little Jesus child, meek and mild, and the rush of parties and the mall and buying and Black Friday and all that kind of stuff. And we're caught in the middle of it. We really are. We try not to be Scrooges, you know, but we try to also bring the true meaning of Christmas. And it's amazing to me, more and more over the last few years, there has been a movement within Christendom, specifically in the West, to try to regain what this is all about, what Advent is all about. There are places like Advent Conspiracy that is trying to refocus and saying, let's spend wisely and make sure that all of our spending and our efforts move us to worship and move us to helping, move us to do what Jesus did when he came 2,000 years ago. There's a new Facebook group that I was asked to be part of, started by Brandon. A lot of you remember, kids remember Brandon when he was here. He went up back to Oregon to go to school, and just talking about let's keep humility. Someone said, you know, let's keep Christ in Christmas. His little thing is let's keep humility in Christmas. And you read the Magnificat, the prayer of Mary in Luke, where she says, you know, Lord, you are mindful of your humble servant. You look down on us and remember our state. And Christmas should cause us to do that. It should cause us to consider our true state of things, how we really are. Last night, I was sitting by the fire and listening to the wind in the trees. By the way, if anybody has a chainsaw, there's some new redwood laying on the ground outside. Came down yesterday morning as we were putting up the Christmas decorations. And we were putting things up and God was knocking things down. But I was sitting there and I don't know why, but my mind, my eye was caught over on the windowsill in our den. There is a set of at least 50 Pez dispensers that Trinity had collected. I don't know why anybody would collect Pez dispensers, but she did, so we mounted them. You can't use them anymore. They're just there to look at. And I thought, that was a lot of money in Pez dispensers right there. And then, of course, my eye looked across the den and I saw all the things that I have. And then I read the words of Mary. Oh, Lord, you have looked down on your humble servant. You have remembered me. Now, I don't know about you, but I was stuck in that rough place of juxtaposition between the wealth of stuff that I have and the emptiness and poverty of my own soul. I was reading in a book last night. I was sitting there. Maybe this is what prompted the whole thing. But the author made a statement. He said, some of us are so far from the stable, we can't see the Savior. The stable is a stinky, backwater, poverty-stricken place. It's not the place where babies are born. For sure, not the place that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is born. But so often we are so overwhelmed by by the stuff, and we have so much stuff in our lives that we cannot, we are just removed physically from the stable. And my encouragement to myself this year is to get back to the stable. And I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means. But I'm drawn to that image. To get back to the stable so I can see and glimpse the Savior who's there. I want to talk about giving and getting. There are two major conversations that go over Christmas. Lots of conversations. Where have you been? What have you done? Families get together. But there are two conversations that continue to swirl around. One is, what are you getting for Christmas? And what are you giving for Christmas? And so for the next few weeks, I want to look at those two things. Just take a look at the things that we get at Christmas. And out of that, therefore, the things that we give. Because Christmas is about getting and giving. God gave us what we needed 2,000 years ago when he sent his son, Jesus. He gave us something. He gave us a gift, but that gift was given to us so that we would not hoard it, but that we would give it away. That started way back in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 18, God speaks about Abraham, and he speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, and out of your nation, out of the people of Israel, all the nations of the world will be blessed, including the people of Chad, including the Tama people. They will be blessed because of what I'm going to do in and through you, Abraham, you sonless man. I'm going to bring a nation. And through that nation, a blessing will come. Paul will write to the Galatians, the scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel, the good news. He announced the good news about Jesus to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham was gifted with a son in order to give to the nations. He was blessed. Israel was blessed in order that they would be a blessing. And what was true about Abraham and Israel is true about us today. You have been gifted in order to give. You have been blessed in order to be a blessing. What God has given to you, what God has given to me, he's given to me for a specific reason, and that is not to hoard it, but to give it away. John wrote, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And a few sentences later, he said, we love. We are able to love because God loved us first. We have been gifted in order to give. We have been blessed in order to be a blessing. You have been loved by God so that you will love others. In fact, that the scripture is true, and I tend to believe it is, it says, I only can love because I've been loved by God. Any attempts of love that I think I can do apart from the love I've received from God is not love. I love because God loved me first. Now, here's a gift that God gave us. God gave us the gift of light. This is the gift I want us to look at just for a few moments. The gift of light. Light is an interesting element. It's an interesting property. in the physical world. Way back in the, I think it was about the 11th century, a man said that light travels as a particle, little bits of power, of energy, travel through the aether of our atmosphere and impact us. That's what light is like. It's a particle. Time went on, years passed, everybody believed that to be true, and then all of a sudden they did some scientific studies and realized that, no, light is not a particle, but is in fact a wave. It travels as a wave through our atmosphere and impacts our lives. And everybody was happy with that. Now, we were mistaken about the particle, but it is a wave. And then some more scientists came along further on down the road, and they said, no, it's not a wave. It really is a particle. Those other people were just mistaken about the waveness of light, and it's a particle. And then good old Albert shows up, Mr. Einstein, and says, no, you've got it all wrong. It is both a particle and a wave. It is both of those things, and it is a particle when you are looking for a particle, and it is a wave when you are looking for a wave. And so if you're looking for light as a wave, you won't find it as a particle. And if you're looking for it as a particle, you won't find it as a wave. It is only as you perceive it is how it is. And then someone came along a little bit farther and said, and actually that particleness and that waveness has a correlation together, that light moves as a wave and a particle within little packets of time and space and energy, and where we get quantum physics. Anybody have Boomer's phone number? Maybe he could explain it to me. Light is an amazing thing. I do not understand it at all, be it particle or wave or packet. I just know that when I go into my house at night, I flip the light switch up and the lights go on. I come out in the morning and the sun is shining and I experience the light. It is an amazing thing. I don't pretend to understand it, but I know it's amazing. And yet, light is more than just what we see in the physical world. Light has to do with our spirits as well. The Bible speaks a lot about light. The first thing it tells us about light is that light was created by God. In fact, in the first part of Genesis, it says, before anything was, God created light. He created day and night. He created light and darkness. It's interesting to me, and we're going to talk about this next year. We're going to look at Genesis a little bit next year, but it's not until a couple days later that God actually creates the sun and the moon and the stars. So it seems to me that he creates light and dark before there's anything that shines. I don't know what Einstein would do with that. But God created light. The sun. The stars. The Bible says the moon. But we know that the moon doesn't shine, it only reflects. But he still said he created it, and it still shines, and it still gives forth light. But the Bible not only talks about God's creating light, it talks about that light is a very marker of the presence and favor of God. In Exodus, we read that there was a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. It marked God's presence, it marked God's leading, it marked God's favor with them. In Leviticus, when they were building the temple and the tabernacle, they built golden candlestands that were forever to be lit to remind the people that God's presence was always with them. That candle was never to be snuffed out. The candle was always burning in the tabernacle because God's presence was always with the people. In Psalm 4, 6, it says, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O God. Light was God's presence, was God's favor. It was God's glory. Psalm 104 says that God is wrapped, his jacket, his cloak is the light. It's neither wave nor particle, it's now clothing. Not only does light explain to us God and how he deals with us, but it also is a metaphor for our spiritual life. The psalmist says, Lord, give light to my eyes. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? Light is that which gives us God's salvation. It's a marker of God's work in our lives. It teaches us truth. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. Light is God's wisdom to us. Light was created by God for us. Light marks God's presence and God's favor and God's leading. Light is what describes the person who's living according to God's rule and according to God's righteousness. And then we come to the New Testament. And we find out that light is not particle or wave or packet. Light is not the sun or the stars or the moon. Light is, in fact, a person. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This is the verdict. The light, Jesus, has come into the world. But men love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil, hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes to the light so that those will be able to see plainly what God has done for them. In John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 9:5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The scriptures declare that God is light. That Jesus and God are one and the same. Jesus now personifies light for us. We see light in the person of Christ. God has given us the great gift of light, that which shines for us today and warms our skin and causes our plants to grow. God gives us the light of his word that gives direction to our lives. God gives us the light of himself in the person of Jesus Christ to come and to be our Savior. That gift is also given to us so that we will give it away. For Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, you, speaking to us, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The Apostle Paul says, light is how we are to live. We were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. To the Colossians, he says, giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into his kingdom, the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, you are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. And John writes, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son purifies us, cleanses us from all sin. It's all about getting and giving. God has given us light in all of its various forms. In Jesus, in His Word, in the physical universe, He has given us so we can give it away, blessed us so that we can bless. So we have a couple of options. Three. One, you can choose to live in the darkness. Not a very good idea, but it's your choice. Two, you can receive the gift of light and enjoy it. And three, you can receive the gift of light, enjoy it, and give it away. It seems to me that that's what the Scripture tells us to do, is to give it away, to reflect Jesus, to shine, to show Jesus. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. You are a city that cannot be hidden. You are not to be a people who are put under a bowl so your light does not shine. Instead, you are to place yourself on a stand so that your light will give light to everyone. Let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." How do we give away the light of Jesus? By doing the things that Jesus did. It is that simple. It is that simple. And that's what we can do this Christmas. We can receive the light that God gave us, and we can turn around and give that light away. We can shine for Jesus by doing good, by doing the things that Jesus called us to do, by loving mercy, by caring for the needy, by feeding the hungry, by clothing the naked, by giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. All of those things help the light to shine. It's a light that we have been given in order to give it away. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord God, you proclaimed through your prophet that the people were walking around in darkness, but now they have seen a great light. That light is you. That light is you in the person of Jesus Christ who entered into our world 2,000 years ago as a little candle, as a little baby, full of the glory of God. Lord Jesus, you came to shine for us. You came to burn your presence within our souls. You have come to be the light of God for us, that we would become lights. Help us this Christmas, this Advent season, to receive your light afresh and anew, and to say, "Lord, let your light so shine in me, through me, by my good deeds, by caring for the least of these. Lord, help me to give away your light this Advent season, that the world would know that you did come from the Father, and that people would come to you, the light of the world, and be rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom, your kingdom. Jesus, this is our prayer. We pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen.